In late August of 1996, my summer break from college had ended and I was back on campus for another school year. I always loved the beginning of the new school year because people were in a good mood and having fun, and it was great to see old friends that I hadn't seen for several months. Well, one night at Bible study, I was talking with some friends about the work that we had done over the summer. Several of us had church-related jobs because we were all exploring a call to ministry. And we all wanted to do work that we thought would change the world. As we talked, one buddy told us his stories of the work he did up in the Hell's Kitchen area of New York City. Another friend talked about being immersed in Belize, where he led programs for teenagers who were being pressured to join gangs. And I talked about how I smuggled Bibles into China to help out the local house churches. Looking back, I think each of us were trying to top each other's story. We wanted to feel like our summer job had the greatest adventure, and we wanted to tell each other about all the great things we had done. But truth be told, we were just doing a lot of boasting. And that's what college guys do a lot of, don't they? Now, it does feel nice to help people and to see the world change. I think we all want to make a difference in the world, and we want the world to change. We want to see an end to war. We want to see an end to conflict. We want to see an end to pain and brokenness. We want to see an end to evil. Now, doing good things that help make a dent in those things is an important work, but how do we really make change happen? Is it bragging about our work? Is that going to make a real difference? I don't think that's the right way. In our scripture from Matthew chapter 6, Jesus told those listening to him to not boast about the pious things they were doing. Being a show-off with your faith doesn't really do much good. And I think Jesus knew that even when people try to do right, they still are prone to get things wrong. And so Jesus shows us another way. He shows us how to be the change that we want to see in the world. And the key is to focus on our inner spiritual life. In other words, if you want to see change happen in this world, you first need to withdraw and work on your own heart and soul. This is about connecting with God in secret, to use the language of our scripture passage. Now, to help people better understand this, Jesus shared three examples, which include giving in secret, praying in secret, and fasting in secret. Giving, praying, and fasting are important spiritual practices that help build us up. They prepare us to do things beyond what we can currently see as possible. It's kind of like athletic training. Now, could you walk out of this building today and run a marathon? I think most of us probably couldn't. And maybe this is not something you would ever want to do. And I get it. My wife Victoria tells me that she says the only good reason for running is if someone is chasing her. But let's just say you want to run a marathon. That is an admirable goal. And yet, if you haven't trained for this kind of race, then no matter how good your intentions are, you will inevitably fall short in exhaustion before you ever cross the finish line. But if you train by slowly increasing your mileage each week, you'll grow stronger, and you'll grow stronger as a runner, and eventually you'll get into shape and you'll be able to cross the finish line. Now, practicing disciplines like giving, praying, and fasting have a similar effect on our spiritual lives. Though Jesus is clear that having the right motivation is critical, He tells us that practicing a showy kind of faith and even being pious doesn't do us much good if the motivation is a desire to be noticed by others, a desire to be praised, honored, or celebrated. Now, Jesus is critical of people whose piety seems to communicate, look at me, look how spiritual I am. And so it's for this reason that Jesus wants us to ask ourselves, why are we doing these things? Why are we giving, praying, and fasting? What's our motivation? Are we trying to impress others? If that's the case, Jesus says, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. The only reward you will get is the praise from the people who you've impressed. Now, obviously, there are several problems with living like this. For starters, you have the wrong motive. And while some people may be impressed with what you do, there may be others who get discouraged by what they see. They may feel as if they're not spiritual enough to do any good. They may not feel like they measure up. They may want to love God, but they don't feel like they can do it in the right way. They don't feel like they can do the right things. And so your actions actually have a negative impact on people like this. Another big problem arises when you make a show of your faith, and that's you become inauthentic. You're not genuine. See, Jesus teaches that instead of seeking to appear more holy in public than you are in private, that we should really do the opposite. We should strive to be more holy and more spiritual in private than we are in public. Now, Jesus wants us to be real. He wants us to be genuine. And that begins by first looking to God. And that's where our focus should be. And our real reward will be God's love. And Jesus tells us that if our true motivation for being spiritual and pious isn't God, then we're not being authentic, and we're really living like a hypocrite. Hypocrite is the Greek word for a stage actor. In ancient times, actors often wore masks that cover up their true identity. And because of this, the word was connected to people who try to hide their true nature. They act one way in public and another way in private. Jesus doesn't want us to live like this. He wants us to be authentic. Now, I'd like us to look more closely now at each of the three examples that Jesus gave. And when it comes to giving, Jesus tells us to not publicize our generosity like the hypocrites do. He says in verses 3 and 4, when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, I think a lot of us have discovered that a good way to give in secret is to practice a regular habit of giving away a percentage of our income. Some people give weekly, some give monthly. And as our income increases, our giving increases. This is a great way to make a difference in the world. But we don't call attention to ourselves. We just give. And Jesus certainly wants us to do good things like this without being seen. Now, he said some similar things about prayer. Jesus told his followers that prayer can be done in such a way that it strengthens your soul or it raises your reputation in public, but not both. Now, there is a time and a place for public prayer. It's part of what we do in worship. But it starts with each of us individually at home. Jesus wants us to spend time with God by praying in secret, using our own words, It's not about copying the prayers that you've heard other people pray. Jesus simply wants us to be real and genuine with God. Now, I think Jesus knew that people struggle with prayer, so he offered a model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And it does four things. First, it shows us that we should orient ourselves to God. In other words, we are children of God. We're part of God's family alongside others. And when we pray, we acknowledge this reality. We say, "Our Father." Second, the Lord's Prayer teaches us to align our desires with God's desires. Now, we want the world to be the kind of place where God's purposes are fully realized, but it's not there yet. It needs to change. And so that leads us to pray that God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. A third lesson we learn from this prayer is to take our needs and our concerns to God. This includes physical needs like food, and it includes spiritual needs like forgiveness of our sins. And finally, the Lord's Prayer leads us to pray that we will be prepared to re-engage with the outside world. And we do this by asking for guidance, a way from the trials and temptations that could destroy us, and we ask to be liberated from evil. Now, when we have a healthy inner spiritual life that keeps us focused on God and the love that God has for us, we discover that we're positioned to engage with the outside world in the best way possible. Having a strong private prayer life is essential to this. And that is one of the reasons why we're having a prayer emphasis during Lent. We're encouraging each other to make time for prayer. We've even put together a prayer guide to help with this. And if you haven't picked up your guides, we have extra prayer guides available in the church office. These provide just a little weekly rhythm that will help you as you pray at home, as you pray in secret. Now, the third example that Jesus gives in our scripture passage involves the spiritual practice of fasting. Now, like the other two examples, Jesus teaches that we should do this in secret. He says in verse 16, "Whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they're fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by our Father who is in secret." In other words, when you fast, don't talk about it. Just keep it to yourself. When your stomach's growling, use that time to affirm your desire for God. And when your mouth desires something good and tasty, quietly say in your heart, "My soul desires the goodness of God." Giving, praying, and fasting are three important spiritual practices that put us in the best possible position to engage with our world and make a difference. And Jesus tells us to do all three in secret. But if we're showing off our faith for others to see, then that's as far as it will take us. It won't make that big of a difference. Now, if we really want to see change happen in the world, then we have to start first with ourselves. And that's why the inner spiritual life is so important. It keeps us focused on the right things. And when we're focused on God, that is when we have the right motivations, we come to know God's blessings in an intimate way, and we see God changing us, transforming us. And we see that God's abundant life is taking root in our own lives, and that bears fruit. That fruit makes a difference. And that fruit can even change the world. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we recognize that even when we have the right intentions, we don't always act in the right way. Sometimes we're hypocritical. Sometimes we act selfishly or arrogantly. Sometimes we make a show of our faith. Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us. We want our faith to be genuine, authentic, real. And we've been reminded today that it begins with our own inner spiritual life. We pray that we will make this a priority. We do want to see change happen in the world, but it begins with each of us. And so we pray that we will be open to the changes that you want to make in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a moment, we'll sing our closing hymn. It's hymn number 446, Take Time to Be Holy. I'll be here at the front of the sanctuary as we sing. So if any of you would like to come forward and share how you are responding to God, I'll be here to receive you. If you'd like prayer, I'm also happy to pray with you during this time. But let's stand now and sing our closing hymn.